Good morning. Many of you have given me some comments recently about the getting into detail on the Apostle Peter and so forth. I have been a little worried that I was dragging it out too much, and a number of your comments have reassured me that, you know, that we're covering the topic. Of course, in our series on studying the apostles, not every apostle has as much written about them as Peter does. So once we get past Peter, there it's not going to be a forever study like it appears Peter is. But we've been having a very good study on the apostles in general, and we started out with the Apostle Peter. If you have your New Testaments with you, open up to Acts, the second chapter. We're going to be looking at the day of Pentecost starting out today. Peter has been a very, just kind of a John Q. apostle. That one reason that there's been so much about him is he is an average person, and I think we can identify so many things with the Apostle Peter. We have seen that he has built up a very close relationship with Jesus. We see that when Jesus takes some of them aside, a lot of times it's Peter, James, and John, and he has witnessed miracles, he has witnessed healings, he has witnessed people being brought back from the dead. He has vowed, because of his relationship and because of the kind of individual Peter is, Jesus, I will never depart from you. I will never deny you. Even though Jesus says one of you will, and he even told Peter, you will deny me. He swore up and down he wouldn't. We've seen that. We've seen we ended up last week with Jesus restoring Peter, bringing him back in, giving him the pat on the back to go on. Peter, you're better than this. I know it. I want you to know it. And Peter was restored. He could have very easily gone the way of Judas. Be so distraught. He told me I was going to deny him. I told him I wouldn't, but he said I would, and there I did it. He could have been so distraught after seeing the crucifixion that what his close friend, not to mention Savior, his close friend, what he suffered, and I denied even knowing him, he could have very easily gone the way of Judas and been so distraught, I'm just going to kill myself. I'm not worthy. But he didn't do that. Jesus saw something in Peter bigger than Peter. Jesus saw something in him, and we ended up last week with Jesus restoring Peter, welcoming him back. Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. And he did it three times. With Peter, it was three times a charm. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He's going to feed those sheep starting today. In Acts, the second chapter, this is the day of Pentecost. The church will be established. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The church is created. And Peter was there from the beginning. In Acts 2:14, with this vast crowd assembled, it says, but Peter standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." He will go on to deliver a tremendous gospel sermon, and it wasn't very long. But he goes on to tell them in Acts 2 that you know the scriptures. The prophets had told you and had taught for years that the Son of God will be delivered up as a sacrifice for man's sins. And this sacrifice you killed. You killed him. I denied him. But you murdered him. And he delivers an unbelievably powerful, convicting. Peter doesn't sugarcoat it. It's not one of these butterfly and sprinkles sermons where everybody feels good and it's just a bunch of pats on the back about how good everything is. Peter delivers a sermon, "You killed the Son of God." And skipping later into the chapter, in verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Have you ever been cut to the heart where you've done something, you've said something, and you realize what you've done, and it just, maybe you've hurt a friend. Maybe you said something in haste, and it hurt a friend. Maybe you've done something, and it disappointed your mother, disappointed your grandfather, broke a friendship, hurt a spouse. And when you realize what you did, you, not blaming somebody else, what you did, cut to the heart. Now, when they heard this, that this Jesus, whom they crucified, was the Lord and Savior. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to know. We were guilty of this. What do we do to rectify this situation? Then Peter said to them, "Repent. Repent and be and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He didn't say, "There's nothing you can do. There's not a thing." Now, I try to keep it in perspective. I don't try to minimize sin in my life. I don't try to do that from this verse. But I also, this encourages me, everything that is done can be remedied. Can be remedied. And how do you remedy it? You repent. Those of us that are Christians, can we do something so bad that we can't repent? Whatever route we're going on in life, whatever route, as bad and as far away from God as we're getting, at any given moment, we can stop, one, repent, and take that first step to get back to God. I like to think none of us have done anything as, now granted, sin is sin. I'm not judging different sins. Some have harsher consequences, but sin is sin. But here are people that were personally responsible for the death of the Son of God. And they wanted to know, what do we do to remedy this? And Peter simply said, Peter had denied Jesus. Peter understood about repentance now. He was restored by Jesus. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. You can't be feeding my sheep if you're off denying me. Feed my sheep. These people cried out. They were cut to the heart. What do we do? Peter didn't say, you're in a bad way. There's nothing you can do. It's over. Might as well kiss yourselves goodbye, because it's done. You repent. You repent of your sins and you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. In the very next chapter in Acts, we see the apostles healing a lame man. In Acts 3, starting in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I want to pause here for just a moment. We're not just looking at stories that occurred in Peter's life. We're looking at situations that can be applied to our lives. Peter gave what he had. He did what he could do. Some people expect certain things. If somebody comes to me wanting assistance with a bucket full of money, they're barking up the wrong tree. But like Peter, we can do what we can. If it's helping somebody move, if it's giving, if it's letting somebody cry on our shoulder, if it's offering them to study the Bible with them, if it's a prayer, we do what we can do. We give them what we have. We can't give more than what we've got. Peter gave this man what he could do. The man was expecting to get some money. This is a great account too, because it was obvious that this man had been lame from his mother's womb. This is not some setup situation. It's not some Benny Hinn show that somebody comes down and Benny heals them and they go doing cartwheels down the aisle. This man, everybody knew, this guy has been lame from infancy, from his mother's womb. It's not like we're going to get a plant. Hey, you come in all crippled and you can't walk, and we're going to heal you and let people think that we've got some power. No. And he says, rise up and walk. He gives this man not what he was wanting. The man was wanting some money. He gave them something else. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, not through medicine, not through acupuncture, not through therapy, not through this and that, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. He had never been able to do that before. Ever. That greatly changed that man's life. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. I love it. He's going into the temple to pray. A man is expecting money from him. He gives him something else. I don't have silver and gold, but what I do, I give you. Rise up and walk. Now that there's a crowd gathered, he uses this opportunity to teach the crowd. He uses this opportunity to make the crowd better. And he goes into another little sermonette here. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Wouldn't a lot of people fall into that category? Look at me. Look what I just did. It was never me. By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Wasn't him. He gives all credit to Jesus. Wasn't me. We can learn that lesson from Peter also. It would be very tempting to have that at our disposal and want to focus on ourselves. I think of John the Baptist, where he gives the line, he must, talking about Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. And this was the same attitude that Peter had. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that would get their attention. That will get their attention. Everything in our religion, our religious beliefs as Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. We're not talking about a hearsay. There's many of you in this crowd that he's talking to that probably had seen him. I'm not giving you hearsay. I witnessed it with my own eyes, which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. When Peter denied Jesus, he didn't want to. He didn't set up, it wasn't on his list of things to do today, to deny Christ, to hurt Christ, to embarrass himself, to become a schmuck in the sight of the rest of the apostles. He didn't intend that day that he woke up to deny Jesus. He understands it. He gets it. Brethren, you are responsible for the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I know you did it in ignorance. You didn't intend to do that. As did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He will later be ordered not to preach. He's causing such a commotion. Him and the apostles are preaching Jesus. They're preaching a condemning message. You guys and the rulers were responsible for the death of the Savior. But he didn't end it there. Repent. When we get in a situation in our own lives that we think there's no way out of this, I've sinned so badly, I can never make amends. Yes, you can. Because the response of Peter was repent. And if you weren't a Christian, be baptized. The majority of us in here, I know, are baptized. It doesn't mean we have a force field around us that we can't sin. I hope none of us have ever... sin is sin. Start to say, hope nobody's done anything that's so heinous as equal to killing the Son of God. But sin is sin. I don't care if it's lying. I don't care if it's murder. I don't care if it's rape, stealing, gossip, causing division within the church. You might as well have driven the nails in Jesus' hands yourself. Causing division within his body? But the remedy is as simple as repent. If you need to repent today, if you need to repent and put your Lord on in baptism, if you're not baptized, if you need prayers of the congregation, whatever you need to respond, as we see in our study of Peter, the answer is repentance. However bad your life is going, the twists and turns it takes, usually through our own bad decisions, however bad and rotten our situation is, the first step is to stop, repent, and start going back to God. Some people, they have to travel a short distance. Others, it's a lot farther. But the reaction is the same, to repent. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known, whether it's baptism, repentance, prayers, or if you would like to identify with us, if you've been looking around for a home congregation and would like to identify with us, if you're already a member of the Lord's church, you're a member of the Lord's church. You just have to decide where it is you want to work, where you want to worship, and with what people you want to worship with. If you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you. And believe me, we will put you to work. Anyway, whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation song.